Sun's Week in All. Listen to the Sunny Side of Sports.
Great show, bro. This is Sunny Side of Sports.
Right here on the Voice of America.
Voice of America.
Sporty greetings to all our Voice of America listeners. This is VOA's Sunny Young in Washington. Welcome to the August 11th edition of the Sunny Side of Sports. Let's kick off with the FIFA Women's World Cup football tournament. Spain and Sweden scored victories Friday in New Zealand to advance to the semifinals. In Wellington, Spain beat the Netherlands 2-1 in extra time to reach the final four for the first time. Barcelona woman Salma Parayeo scored in the 111th minute of extra time. Stephanie Vondergrat had earlier scored a late equalizer for the Dutch to force extra time. Mariana Caldente opened the scoring for Spain with a penalty shot in the 81st minute. Final score from Wellington, Spain 2, the Netherlands 1 in extra time. The Spanish ladies will next play Sweden on August 15th in Auckland, New Zealand. In Auckland Friday, Sweden defeated Japan 2-1 to advance to the semifinals for a fifth time. Amanda Ilestedt fired home her fourth goal of the tournament to give Sweden a 1-0 lead in the 32nd minute. Filippa Anjeldal boosted the lead to 2-0 on a penalty shot in the 51st minute. Hanaka Hayashi scored in the 87th minute for Japan. Final score from Auckland, Sweden 2, Japan 1. The Women's World Cup action now moves to Australia for two more quarterfinal matches on Saturday. Australia will host France in Brisbane, and England will play Colombia in Sydney. The English Premier League football season officially kicks off Friday evening when Burnley plays visiting Manchester City. Defending champion Man City has won five of the last six Premier League titles. Ahead of the match, Man City manager Pep Guardiola says he doesn't think it's possible to repeat last season's treble-winning campaign of Premier League, FA Cup, and UEFA Champions League trophies.
No, I don't think so. It will be possible to do what they have done last season. So it's one in a lifetime. So I said to the players, forget about it. So we climbed the highest mountain last season, what we have done, but the last 2 days we came down to the mountain and we start from the, you know, from there with everyone with the same intention, and will be a lot of difficulties to climb as high as possible in our level, the mountain, and we'll see our football, our behaviors, our mentality will dictate how is the season will be.
As we look forward to this first game of the English Premier League season, how are Pep Guardiola and Manchester City approaching it?
Normally the first games are difficult for itself, especially for the new promoted, and because they have nothing to lose and they have the energy and you know, the dream to do a good season. A part of that, Beanie knows us really well, so he made an incredible job. I think he's doing an incredible job. He'd make an incredible job last season because he changed completely the way he was playing Burnley for the last years with Sean Dyche. And he destroyed the Premier League, the championship. So since day one, make a win is so difficult in this competition. And in the finest style and proper style from Bini. So he make an incredible job, and I'm pretty sure he's going to do it really, really well. It will be a tough game, especially in the beginning of the season, especially for the champions teams, always is so difficult because you need some time to reset, you know, to really know, oh, we have to come back what we were, and that is question of time.
It's a question of time whether Pep Guardiola and Manchester City will win another Premier League title. Let's take a look at the opening weekend of fixtures in the Premier League. I mentioned Man City playing the opening match against host Burnley on Friday evening. On Saturday, there will be 6 Premier League matches. Arsenal at home against Nottingham Forest. Bournemouth also at home against West Ham. Brighton will play visiting Luton. Everton at home against Fulham. Sheffield United will play visiting Crystal Palace. And Newcastle at home against Aston Villa. On Sunday, 2 more Premier League matches. Brentford will play host to Tottenham. And Chelsea will go against visiting Liverpool at Stamford Bridge. I'm VOA's Sonny Young in Washington, and you're listening to the Sunny Side of Sports on The Voice of America.
This is The Voice of America. Washington, D.C.
Hello, this is Heather Maxwell, host of Music Time in Africa. Join me every Saturday and Sunday for an hour of awesome African music. Wake up, dance this music. Like to stay on top of new music trends, breakout artists, new releases? Maybe you just love the classic styles and artists of the past. Or simply the sound and feel of a good beat. Whatever your pleasure, you can get it every week right here on Music Time in Africa. So join me on your local FM station, Saturdays and Sundays at 1500 and 2000 UTC.
VOA brings you the best in African music on the African beat. African Beat showcases the latest and the greatest of contemporary African music, from bobo music to hip life, bonga flavor to soukous, Afrobeat to ndombolo and makossa to kwaito. The African Beat on VOA has it all. And it's happening right here, Mondays through Fridays at 09:05 and 20:05 UTC, right after the international news.
This is Colonel Sam Amedu, retired President FIBA Africa Zone 3. You are once more listening to Sunny Side of Sports on The Voice of America. Thank you very much and have a good day.
Thank you very much, Colonel Sam. And I hope you and all our Sunny Side of Sports listeners are having a good day and will have a good weekend ahead. In African men's basketball, Ghanaian player Jeremiah Nyarko is one day hoping to play the sport professionally. Jeremiah is currently preparing for his second season at the University of San Diego in California. Yawafusu Larbi in Accra tells us more about Jeremiah's journey. Sporty greetings, Yao!
Sporty greetings, Sonny. Nyarko was a regular Ghana boy. His routine was similar to what many of us had. School, home, play with friends, watch TV, and then back to bed. It was like this for a while, until he found basketball. It was one of the old, ragged courts in the suburbs of Accra. The coach had noticed how tall he was and offered him a tryout. In no time, he had latched onto the sport like he had been playing years before. His youth coach taught him moves from Hakeem Olajuwon and Joel Embiid. Months later, the NBA Academy came to Ghana, and he was the only one to be picked out of 400 kids who came out to play that day. He joined the Basketball Without Borders program to Johannesburg to represent Ghana. That was when things began to shape up.
I feel pretty good. It's amazing because, like, it doesn't even sound true, you know what I mean? It's just so crazy. Like, it just changed like this, you know? But it's just very humbling too, because it's like, you know, bro, you didn't grow up doing this. It's a blessing. As I know I'm still doing all this and I'm grateful for this, it can be taken away from me anytime. You know what I mean? So that's how I see things, you know, being a Christian. It's just like, it humbles me, just makes me more humble, you know, and I'm just learning from those who are about me, just seeing how they react, you know.
In his early years in the United States, he went 27 games without losing in his first year. That was at the St. John Bosco High School in California. He breezed through sophomore year as one of the school's best players and then won the championship in junior year. In his final year, he moved to the Sierra Canyon High School, where he teamed up with Ronnie James to win another championship. Already, he has met with NBA greats LeBron James and Kevin Durant. But what has he learned?
You got to be consistent also. You know, got to work hard. And they also let me know it's about who you know. If you don't know the right people, you probably won't get where you want to get to. So it's just being consistent, you know, just working hard. And it's like, when you surround yourself with the right people, you get feedback, you know. Am I doing this thing? Am I working hard enough? Am I doing this? Or even they're going to invite you to bigger places. So you get to meet bigger people, you know, and bigger platforms. And they get to see you, you know, perform. And, you know, it helps you, you know, get to your next level.
Nyako grew up in Ghana. He remembers a time where he would walk the streets of North Kaneshi in Accra with a basketball in his hand, throwing his ball into anything he could find and just struggling to find the right people to help him. It is his wish that a country gets better at the sport and improve talent.
We need the support, and we need to do the right things for our people. You know, we can't always want to go here, want to go to America, Europe. We can make our own place very successful. You know, why not start it here? Why should we go somewhere else? You understand me? Ghana is, everybody comes here. You understand me? So then let's make this place better then. You know what I mean? Why do we have to go somewhere else? Because there's all the resources and everything we need here, but we've got to help ourselves first, you know what I mean?
For the sunny side of sports, this is Yao Fosu-Labi in Accra.
Thanks, Yao. We heard Yao say how Jeremiah Nyarko's youth coach taught him moves from Joel Embiid. In May, the big Cameroonian Embiid won his first National Basketball Association Most Valuable Player Award. In this sunny side of sports highlight for 2023, let's listen to Embiid's reaction.
You know, it's been a long time coming. You know, a lot of hard work. You know, I've been through a lot. And I'm not just talking about basketball. I'm talking about, you know, everything as a life, you know, my story, you know, where I come from and, you know, I got here and, you know, what it took for me to be here. So it feels good. I don't know what to say. It's amazing.
Among those offering congratulations to Joel Embiid was another big man, Shaquille O'Neal, the Basketball Hall of Famer who won the NBA's MVP award in 2000. Joel Embiid thanks Shaq for helping motivate him to be a better basketball player.
Thank you, big fella. You know, appreciate it. I still remember the conversation we had a couple years ago. I think it was 3-4 years ago. It was actually here in Boston. We had just played Boston, and, you know, you guys were all on me about, you know, I got to be dominant. And, you know, to this day, I still remember that conversation. And, you know, that helped a lot, and that changed a lot when it came to the way you know, I went about my business. So thank you.
Joel Embiid also thanked his teammates on the Philadelphia 76ers.
First of all, you know, I thank all of them because I couldn't have done it without them. You know, that being, you know, obviously we've been winning a lot and, you know, the work that they put in to put me in, and trust me, and putting me in positions to succeed. Has been, you know, amazing, and they've given up a lot for me. So, you know, I'm just thankful for, you know, for these guys. They're all behind me, and I know how much I'm thankful. I'm thankful for them.
Joel Embiid did talk about a few people who helped him begin playing basketball at the age of 16.
I think there's about 2 or 3 people, I would say. There's definitely more people that have helped me along the way. And, you know, if I start going on, we're going to be here all night. But, you know, you can start with, I'll say my uncle, because he was the one that kind of started getting to my head when I was 16. And also to my dad's head about, you got to let him, you know, start playing basketball. And my dad just wasn't with it because I think he thought it was too physical for me, which is funny because I like the physicality. You know, but, you know, it was always, you know, all up, you know, my dad about you got to let them try. And finally, I got the chance to start. And Luke came back and he had a basketball camp in Cameroon. And that's really how he started, you know, going to his camp. Obviously, I had just started playing basketball, and you know, and I was just talking to him earlier. Like, there was no way we could have known that I would have been, you know, in the NBA or, you know, at this level. But, you know, he gave me this opportunity to really come to the U.S. and be able to take advantage of, you know, what I've been given. And I'm just so thankful. But like you said, you know, the one thing that I want people to just remember is that, you know, anything is possible. You know, for me, you know, as you know, starting playing basketball so late at 16, that's, you know, that's, you know, that's hard. You know, that's hard to make it. And to be able to be in this position, you know, it obviously took a lot of work and a lot of luck. But, you know, I just want people to just remember that, you know, anything is possible, no matter what you do, as long as you believe in it. And, you know, anything's going to happen.
That's Cameroonian big man Joel Embiid, the NBA's MVP for 2023. And Joel spoke with TNT Television from Boston. I'm VOA's Sonny Young in Washington, and you're listening to the Sunny Side of Sports on The Voice of America.
Coming up on the next science edition of Press Conference USA, it's a conversation with the former director of the National Institute of Allergies and Infectious Diseases, Dr. Anthony Fauci, MD. Hello, this is Rick Pantaleo. Dr. Fauci and I will take a look back at his career in medicine and public health and his efforts to mitigate pandemics such as HIV/AIDS and COVID-19. Listen for it this Saturday and Sunday on The Voice of America.
VOA's Sonny Young in Washington, and you're listening to the Sunny Side of Sports on The Voice of America. You can follow the Sunny Side of Sports on Facebook, X, formerly known as Twitter, and at voaafrica.com. My Facebook address is facebook.com/VOA Sunny. My X or Twitter handle is at VOA Sunny Sports. And if you go to voaafrica.com, you can listen online to the Sunny Side of Sports as well as past episodes. And check out voaafrica.com. for lots and lots of Africa news. For world news, go to voanews.com. A professional gambler claims an American golf star wagered more than $1 billion on sporting events over the past 30 years. The AP's Chuck Freeman has that story and others making headlines here in the USA.
Phil Mickelson piled up more than $1 billion of bets, according to a book that'll soon be out by renowned gambler Billy Walters, including an excerpt where Mickelson wanted Walters to place a $400,000 bet on the 2012 Ryder Cup that Mickelson was a part of. Mickelson denied betting on the Ryder Cup. Running back Jirel Brock and three other Iowa State football players and three from Iowa have been charged as the state continues its investigation into illegal sports betting at the schools. Brock is the team's leading rusher and is accused of making bets on three Iowa State games. San Francisco 49ers chief executive Jed York is being sued over accusations of insider trading related to his role on the board of an online educational company. Turning the baseball interleague play, St. Louis took 2-3 from Tampa, 5-2 winners. Matthew Libertar pitched 8 scoreless innings. Rays manager Kevin Cash says Libertar could not be touched.
And he had a good fastball going through where he wanted to, mixed in a harder changeup at the slider, and then he introduced that bigger breaking ball.
In the National League, Philadelphia took down Washington 6-2. The Pittsburgh Pirates rallied back to beat the Atlanta Braves, as Josh Rountree reports.
The Pirates rallied from a 4-0 hole, beating baseball's best team, the Atlanta Braves, 7-5. Key Brian Hayes drove in 3 runs for the Pirates for a 3rd straight game, as Derek Shelton's young team picked up its 2nd straight series split against a division-leading team. Thomas Hatch picked up the win with 4 scoreless relief innings for Pittsburgh. Matt Olson cranked his 40th home run of the season for Atlanta, with Bryce Elder suffering the loss.
LA Dodgers beat Colorado. American League, Detroit defeated Minnesota 3-0. Twins manager Rocco Baldelli says the offense dried up, losing the last 3 games to the Tigers.
We didn't have enough base runners. We didn't have enough opportunity out there offensively. We're trying to do a difficult thing today and trying to win a ball game without scoring. It's not going to happen.
Baltimore beat Houston 5-4. Cleveland defeated Toronto 4-3. Boston beat Kansas City 2-0. Chuck Freeman.
Thanks, Chuck. Samson O'Malley joins us once again with another extra spicy package of African sports news. Sporty Friday greetings, Samson.
Sporty Friday greetings to you too, Sunny. We begin the wrap of Africa sports highlights with some boxing stories. In Ghana, President of the Ghana Boxing Authority, Abraham Nikwaye Kote, has expressed optimism about a successful expansion of the Ghana Boxing League to regions beyond the Greater Accra area. The Ghana Boxing Authority has been applauded for the revival of the Boxing League in the region after a 16-year hiatus. In Namibia, the country's leading boxing promoter, Nestor Tobias, who has so far helped to produce 3 world champions since independence, is convinced that the country has what it takes to produce even more in the future. He, however, wants corporate companies to invest in regional boxing academies, federations, and structures in order to elevate and train upcoming boxing champions.
We need the extra budget to put a fight up like this, because this you pay all these kids in US dollar coming from Tanzania, coming from DRC, even coming from Zimbabwe or Ghana or Nigeria. So you pay this kid in US dollar, you pay all the officials in US dollar, you pay the sanction fees in US dollar. So that is a challengeful thing and for a promoter. And we don't have a TV right here to say the TV is going to back up or something. So, yeah, but we have been doing this. We're going to do it again, and we keep on doing this because if we don't do this, boxing in Namibia is not going to grow. You're going to end up fighting local bouts, and that's nothing. People want the boxer to go and fight international, but we have to invest money to get boxers on that level, So that's what we've been doing. And of course, as a promoter, you have also to put up extra funds to make this thing possible. And otherwise, we really appreciate our sponsors, main sponsor like MTC and a co-sponsor PSDBet. And of course, the other corporate can also play a big role. They can be co-sponsor for the event, because there's no limit when it comes to sponsor. And with MTC and PSDBet, you can join them. And of course, those who cannot sponsor direct to the event, they can buy a table for their staff, for their clients, and of course, just to support the event,
Staying in Namibia, but this time around talking about chess, the 2023 FIDE Chess World Cup is currently taking place in Baku, Azerbaijan. But unfortunately, Namibia's chess international master, Dante Bukes, was knocked out of the competition by Ivan Sachi from Croatia. With representatives from over 70 countries taking part in the 2023 Chess World Cup, one of the biggest upsets so far occurred between Namibia's Bukes and Croatia's Sachi. Though Bukes completed and dominated the first round, that particular game ultimately ended in a draw. The Namibian explains that he went into the World Cup as an underdog to compete.
Generally, going into the event, I was a huge, huge underdog. He's top 100 in the world. I'm top 100 in Africa. And to give you perspective, the number one player in Africa, there's only one player in Africa that's in the top 100 in the world. So there's quite a huge gap. And he's a grandmaster and I'm an international master. So I'm also a title below. So, of course, I was a huge underdog. And it was expected that I would lose both games because it was a two-game like knockout system. If you draw after two games, you go to tiebreaks. So, but in the first game, I was actually punching above my weight. I had him on the ropes and I was winning, but in time pressure, I didn't manage to hold my nerves and I blundered and the game ended in a draw.
And now to volleyball, where the Ugandan national volleyball teams are set to participate in this year's Africa Nations Championships with a target to qualify for their first ever World Volleyball Championship. Both the women's and men's national team in this year's African Nations Championships is due to take place in Cameroon and Egypt with a target of qualifying for their first ever World Volleyball Championship. Uganda Volleyball Federation President Sadiq Nasiwu, however, says Uganda's preparations and participation at both the women's and men's event is hampered by lack of funds for the women's championship that takes center stage in Yaounde, Cameroon from the 14th to the 22nd of August.
We are waiting and we are still waiting, though we are doing all the preparations to get the funding for this team, because this is a big toll. The federation with its small resources cannot manage this budget. But we have talked to our bosses, the government, to come to arrest you, and we are confident by virtue that already a figure was mentioned to us in this budget allocation, and we are going with the other preparations.
Head coach of the Uganda women's national team, Tony Lekoni, says their preparations has gone quite well so far.
These players have been doing a lot of competition with their clubs. We had the Poro Cup in June, and now we've had the KVC Memorial, and most of them were playing. And this was KVC Memorial is a very good competition because it's given them match practice.
And now to women's football. South Africa Banyana Banyana back to the country from the World Cup after making history at their second ever FIFA Women's World Cup appearance. The African champions claimed their first point, their first victory, and their first visit to the last 16 of the global showpiece. Plenty to be proud of for the team that, before leaving for the tournament, were embroiled in a dispute with the South African Football Association. Desiree Ellis is the head coach of the South African female national team. She spoke with journalists shortly after their arrival in Johannesburg.
We've shown that we can mix it with the best out there. We've also shown that this World Cup has shown that the rankings don't matter. I was asked the question about who do I think is going to win the World Cup. I said I don't know, because we could so easily have been there as well. But very proud of the players, the performance, the staff. They put everything in it and gave everything.
Captain of the side, Katlana Thembi, is optimistic that the current squad has so much potentials for the future.
I'm very excited, actually. I can't wait to see what we are going to be building from, of course, what we have achieved as a team. We come a long way. We still have a long way to go. But I think what we have shown and displayed in this tournament, we were in a group of teams that are highly ranked than us, but trust me, they had to work hard. I think we enjoyed ourselves as a team. Compared to 2019, we only scored one goal. Now we had goals and assists, and everyone is like showing up and celebrating.
And out to Kenya, where a total of 54 athletes and officials will represent the East African country at the 19th edition of the World Athletics Championship, set for the 19th to the 27th of August in Hungary. Speaking on Thursday while handing over the national flag to the 54-member team Kenya at his office in Maktaba House in Nairobi, Kenya's Sports Cabinet Secretary, Ababu Nawamba, urged the athletes to represent the country with distinction and honor.
These are the men and women that brand our country. They give an incredible image to our country. They are the best ambassadors ever. They make Kenya known in places that you cannot imagine. And so it is with great honor and pleasure to come here to see off our team Kenya to the 19th World Athletics Championships, Budapest 2023.
One of the athletes named to Kenya's 54-member team for Budapest 2023 was Africa's fastest man.
Hi, guys. I'm Ferdinand Omanyala, the fastest man in Africa, African 100-meter record holder. And now you're listening to Sunny Side of Sports on The Voice of America.
And that wraps up the August 11th edition of the show. Thank you for tuning in and have a nice weekend. I'm VOA Sonny Young in Washington, and that's the sunny side of sports.
I get it.